Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website's Real Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I finally figured out how to fit 3 dozen cans of Baja Blast in my refrigerator. Well, mini fridge. The key is to remove all the hot sauces that are expired and out of date. And with me, I have...
Arya Stark did not train for 6 seasons just to be called a Mary Sue, Jack Posobiec, you fucking asshole. Ugh.
And...
where are my corn and pizza rolls, dammit?
I don't know. I think you have to look in the same place where I'm keeping the rabies burritos. Why do we have those again?
I don't know.
They eat some weird shit on that show, man. Although I gotta tell you, it's gonna make for a really good episode of Binge with Babish sometime down the road.
Oh shit, that's right.
Although the question is, who does he get to test out the rabies burrito? Sure as hell not going to do it on himself.
Jack Posobiec.
Ah, yes, that bastard.
Yeah.
I wonder how he'll do the thick-ass shakes.
Well, he probably won't go to McDonald's to do it, that's for sure. Sorry, ice cream machine and shake machine broke, as always.
What's the matter, man? Machine broke. What you mean they all broke? Where's the water? Water machine broke. What the fuck? I'm getting my car machine broke. Fuck.
I'm telling you, man, their ice cream machine is more broke than the people who work there. Pay your people, you bastards.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is episode 127. Now, apart from all of us having obviously seen Avengers Endgame and still ecstatic about what we have witnessed, obviously... how have you all been?
Been all right. Been working. Been sleeping on a regular schedule for the first time in like, carry the two, almost 10 years.
Ew.
Yeah, okay. I'm not working nights anymore. And, I'm going to bed before midnight, which, it's a bit of a pain considering I have West Coast sports playoff games to try and follow, which, yeah, that's not very easy for me nowadays, but yeah, aside from that, been all right, been a good week, had a little bit of a busy work week, but now it's nothing that some good sports, and obviously Endgame couldn't fix, which I got to see it at 10:30 in the morning, because that was the only seat I could get when tickets finally went on sale, because my god, these theaters are packed. And for whatever reason, my theater was really quiet and didn't react to anything. I was kind of let down. Why must you do this to me, Charlotte? But I'm going again tomorrow. Hopefully I'll get a better crowd, because I'm going to try and see this movie as much as I can. Because, oh my god, it's so fucking good! But, yeah, I'm going to try to see it in the big fancy screens while I can. Because it was so good. So good, you guys. So good! Ugh. Also, I thought that I don't watch Game of Thrones. I can't watch Game of Thrones. I don't have HBO. Oh boy. Even I know what happened, and wow, that's, fuck you, Jack Posobiec.
Yeah, imagine being the guy with a take so bad that even fucking Bon Bon Shrapnel is dunking on your ass.
Ugh. We're living in strange times. We're gonna get to that later, but I'm a little concerned. Something happened post snap reverse snap. That's changing a lot of things. I'm a little scared.
Yes, same. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
So let's see. Aside from seeing Endgame, that's obvious. Because it's awesome. I finally get to own the movie I'm waiting for all this time. I have in my hand, motherfuckers, on Blu-ray, and I have to say, this is definitely a movie that I would watch again and again and again. I have this foremost for this is, what the hell? Basically, that's what I'm doing in my head. Like, this So yeah, I probably got the movie that I want to see since it got announced. And I'm just glad I own this now.
Yeah, I gotta get the Blu-ray of that soon.
And yeah, I will say the third act, there is some things that are like, okay, where'd this come from? How did that get here? Oh, you forgot about that? But yeah, that's maybe that's one flaw it has. But the rest, this is fucking golden. And this has been like a movie appreciating mostly animus with Vince Staples in it.
Yep, and he's not trying to sell people rabies burritos.
Yeah, that too.
I know I'm beating that joke into the ground, but you know, it's not like I'm going to say anything else funny in this podcast. Anyway, as for me, yeah, I saw it Thursday night on an IMAX screen. Had enough time to make sure I got all the food in me and everything and flush it all out. Although, surprisingly, my bladder didn't act up during the film. Courage of steel, I must say. Or maybe the Thanos snap works on more body parts than one.
Well, I sat through the whole movie, credits and all, didn't get up once. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I went before the movie theater twice.
What an amazing time we live in for these movies. I gotta go see it again. But anyway, apart from that, finals week is now over. Finally have a little bit of break in the summer. Although, I did get a little bit of good news. I was accepted after my application to become a genre director at my university station. I work on, like, the quote-unquote loud genre director, and I'm one half. There's two of us because it's kind of like the biggest section of programming, and there's a lot to manage there. So, you know, responsibilities split right down the middle. Two heads are better than one. I'm already Tracer, but that's completely unrelated. And this past weekend, you know, we finally had time to, some of the DJs got together to clean out some stuff from, like, you know, the closets and fucking CD shelves. Dude, there were so many fucking boxes of CDs there. Like, the next time I go there, I am going to, like, just show off, like, I gotta take video to show Alex, just so many CDs. So many fucking CDs, man. Like, we still got a giant ass box, like, just full of that shit that we had to use to, like, prop a door open. It was just that crazy. No. And I was freaking shuffling through things. You know, there was a lot of stuff that I'm sure has been around since, like, shit, they had stuff from, like, back in the 90s. The oldest album I found that I knew of was fucking Tool's Undertow.
Ah, very nice album.
That's how old we're talking here. And I even found, like, other shit just here and there. And it was always, like, the weirdest shit. Like, I have to wonder how this got here. Like, what the fuck is there a 3 inches of Blood CD? Why is there a shitty Parkway Drive record? Why the fuck is there a Rise Against album from 2014? Who put this here? I have questions.
Well, if y'all don't need that, I'll gladly take him as a donation.
Yeah, that's the part we're still debating, how to dispose of the extra CDs, because eventually we have to clear through, like, we gotta get rid of, like, 80% of that shit, so. That's Thanos plus 30. I believe that's how the math shakes out. that'll be fun. But, aside from that, there's not really anything else. So, let's move on to the usual business. As always, we start with the new song discussion for the past week, and there'll be a playlist down in the description if you wish to follow along with us and these songs. Now, first off, I'm not sure if you've heard about this meme that went around, like, late last year, early this year, about Tekashi 6ix9ine being a fucking snitch for every single thing. I mean, after all, the best memes are based in reality. That fucking bastard. And it turns out there's at least one popular rapper that really does not care much for this 6ix9ine fellow, and that is Mr. YG, who actually dropped a track recently called Stop Snitchin'. And, let me put it like this. It's the type of song where pretty much half of the lyrics, actually, like, pretty much the entire song, it's pretty much overwhelmingly just him calling him, like, a bitch nigga, a hoe nigga, a snitch nigga, stuff like that. Yo girl knew much. You a bitch, no idea how she suck your dick. Seriously, with the amount of times he says bitch in this song, it starts to look like a screenplay for A Nightmare on Elm Street. But, you know, I always appreciate a good dunk on a mediocre rapper, so, you know, all is well.
And yes, I appreciate this as well, too. And I will say the weirdest thing about this song is the fact there's a music video of mainly Death's kind of contrast, like, the song's about snitching, but yet the video's about slavery, like a slave snitched on people getting out. It was like, I told y'all, why y'all trying to whip me? Like, that shit. It was like, at the end of the video.
Well, let's be honest. If Tekashi 6ix9ine was, like, alive back then, he would totally be snitching on slaves. He's just that much of a fucking spineless worm.
Yeah, pretty much. The video and the song, it's pretty alright. It's pretty alright. Like, I do appreciate a good diss track, especially against this motherfucker.
Yep, indeed. Now, moving on to the next song here. Since we opened up with a lot of beaming praise for Avengers Endgame, you can pretty much tell that means the summer blockbuster season has officially upstarted, kicked, and running. Although Lord knows how much money is going to be left over for any of these movies to make, considering that Avengers Endgame made how much in its opening weekend? Oh yeah, like $1.2 billion worldwide.
Hot yeah, damn! It pretty much made double what Infinity War did in its first weekend. Shit, crazy.
I think it was like double its entire runtime. Holy shit. But, you know, obviously there are other movies to be coming out. And hell, if you look at it just in the month of May alone, there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, granted, some of it is like, you know, that Netflix Ted Bundy biopic and fucking Ugly Dolls. Christ.
Ugh. Oh, that.
Why is everyone trying to spin that like a positive message of you're beautiful on the inside or whatever? Like, this looks like a really bad movie. Stop it. Stop it now.
I mean, as long as Gabriel Iglesias gets a paycheck, I guess, but I'm not going to see it. But let's look beyond that and see what some of the highlights are. All right, so first up we got Pokemon Detective Pikachu, which, even though I've had well over a year to mentally prepare myself for this movie existing, I'm still convinced that I'm tripping on acid that this is an actual thing. Anyway, there's also the upcoming biopic about the life of, J.R.R. Tolkien, iconic Lord of the Rings author. There's John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit, you guys, the dogs are kicking ass now. Yes. The dogs are kicking ass now!
That's all
Holy
we ever wanted.
Holy shit. There's friggin' Aladdin for some reason.
Oh yeah, the one with the Will Smith blue cheek. Fuck.
Yes, Will Smith blew himself.
And he seemed making weird choices. I've seen a trailer that the other movie he got coming from Mr. Ang Lee.
Oh, yeah, Gemini Man, Jinx.
Aw, oh, damn it.
Again.
Yep, again.
Yeah, of course there's, great, there's Rocket Man. From the director of Bohemian Rhapsody that we are legally crediting, because there was definitely no one else directing that movie beforehand.
Oh yeah, I wonder how much of a bonus that will be.
The editing! But awesome. The last of these, and the relevant one here, the only one that comes close to matching my hype level for Endgame, and that is, of course, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And I say this as someone who was kind of iffy on the last Godzilla movie we got. Holy shit, this looks like it's going to be such a fucking improvement.
Yes, no, yes,
seeing,
it does.
I got to see this, not just in IMAX, but like IMAX 3D, like opening Thursday night, because fucking seeing King Ghidorah fuck up cities and shit finally with big budget CG and whatnot, holy shit. And speaking of holy shit, of course, as always with these things, there's a soundtrack album coming out that will include not just, like, the musical score pieces, but apparently the opening track is a little goodie, a cover of that ever-so-classic of songs about Godzilla. Godzilla. I could have phrased that better. But yeah, the Blue Oyster Cult classic Godzilla has gotten a little bit of a re-up, courtesy of composer Bear McCreary. Wait, there's no way that's a real name. Is that a real name? There's no way that's a real name.
Yeah.
It's a real name.
Yeah. He's also the guy who's done the music for The Walking Dead for, like, many years.
Oh. But, yeah, Mr. Bear McCreary has also recruited some pretty significant musical talent for this cover. In particular, on vocals, you have Mr. Serge Tankian of System of a Down. And instrumentals provided by Deathclock!
Yes.
Well, literally, technically, Brendan Small and Gene Hoagland.
And Brian Beller.
Wait, he's on this too?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. So, yeah, that's a pretty beefy list of talent to be covering one of the most classic rock songs for an upcoming blockbuster about giant fucking monsters. And I absolutely wished I liked this song more than I actually did. Yeah, sorry to be the killjoy here, but I did not feel it that much. And I'll tell you what it is. I mean, it hits pretty much the beats of the song with, you know, the riff and the drums and everything. Although I gotta be honest, like, the production on the guitar sound really subdued. It doesn't have that nice, thick crunch that you want it to. But what gets me is every other second of the song is filled with this obnoxious crowd chanting. It kind of kills the mood and everything, and it's like, why do you need that? Serge's vocals sound fucking fine. Just let him and let Brendan and Gene and Brian flex their instrumental skills on a cover. You don't gotta have that. I mean, the symphonic accentuations of the original song can stay, but that crowd has just gotta fuck off somewhere. You sure you can't give them a ball to play with? Or maybe buy out a screening of Endgame for them while they wait?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of get why it was put in there. It's meant to sound more cinematic in a way. I'm sure it's going to be in the movie in some part, whether it's, you know, in a throwaway scene or in the credits. But, yeah, it's a pretty solid rendition. Also, it took this long to put this song in a Godzilla movie. How have we failed as a society for this long?
I don't know, man. Probably for the same reason we kept fucking up making Godzilla movies in the West for so long. Except for now. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah.
But now to move on from that, to this past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program. This one coming from an artist I've never heard of before, called Fire Tools, with the Z. And the song in question is called... Well, technically it's called Being, but it's stylized with, like, a check mark at the beginning, so, you know, I gotta figure out how to actually, like, copy and paste that in the thing here. But, yeah, no knowledge going into it, so when I hit play, I was pleasantly surprised, well, really more pleasant, with, you know, the waves of shimmering synths, the chirping birds. It sounds like nature as the beautiful drone continues. And there's even a bit of a warbled keyboard pattern that eventually kicks in to accentuate things. And then there comes drum patterns and harsh screams out of nowhere with fucking guitar shreds, like, going all fucking weird-ass screamo mathcore dominating. Like, Jesus Christ, that's like... The last time I got this surprised by something, I saw The Promised Neverland. Talk about a fucking swerve.
I did a little bit of a lookup, and this is pretty much par for the course for Fire Tools. Very eclectic with musical stylings.
Yeah, apparently they had an album out last year. I think it was called God, why am I blanking on the name right now? I just listened to it. Shit, maybe it's on my spot. Oh, yeah, Skinless X-1, that apparently was a really big hyped record. And, you know, listening to this song with the way it waves back and forth between, like, the kind of, almost kind of, like, vaporwave or, like, 106 Point Never Garden of Delete style with the freaking screams and the offbeat music, you know, metal scram shit. I actually kind of like this. It's fucking weird as hell, but it's actually kind of weirdly my jam, if you know what I'm saying.
Now,
I wrote my... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say this. I fucking love this. I really love this song from beginning to end. Like, especially when it gets to the screamo parts and the whole build up to the whole warble keyboard sound. It's like... Damn, I'm gonna listen to this like I lost count, but fucking I really dig this song. This could be like a top favorite of mine so far. Like, it just got me excited, as you can tell.
Yeah. yeah. This is like the chillest and most synth-wavy post-metal track I've heard in a long while. And Yeah. I really freaking dig this. This is weird, but it's cool. It's like really cool. It's something very, I guess you could say, unique that you don't really ever hear about super often. So, yes, more please. This is very good.
Yes, I need to look more into power tools. Vaporwave metal,
that's the next big trend.
Yeah, I need to look more into this in this person. Because no, it's like one person doing this, because this is what I read.
Yes, Angel Mark Lloyd, producer out of Chicago.
There he is. More often when I get some time. But yeah, good shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on from that. Back to Rammstein again, whose still untitled new album is coming out May 17th. The album art is a matchstick. You know, we know that much now. Although still not a record. Wonder if it's going to be one of those things where it's literally just an untitled record. But anyway, we have the next single here to contend with. This one called Radio, which I assume is about radio. I don't know. I don't speak freaking German. And yeah, this one... This seems like it's more trying to be just a jam more than anything else. It's mainly driven by, like, this industrial disco grooving on the drums. Plenty of these bleepity-bloopity synths and this kind of chuggy-ass guitar. It kind of sounds like Rob Zombie, but with more German dance to it. A lot of the song is driven by, like, that syncopated hi-hat, you know, off, you know, rhythm thing. Why am I blanking out what the word is? And, you know, it kind of, the vocals are, of course, that usual really creepy, gruff delivery in the verses. And then, of course, the more sweeping, you know, mid-pitch triumph into the chorus and everything. Hell, it all kind of weirdly works with the radio motif, especially with the synths. And why is there a woman in the music video breastfeeding a radio?
Huh? That should be the least of your worries with this video. I didn't know what to expect from it. But it's about what I expected from it.
Not gonna lie, I think I kind of like this more than Deutschland. I mean, anthems are fine and all, but every now and then, you just need a fucking bop, you know?
Yeah, and this is a bit of a bop. It's definitely the go-to active rock single of the album that you hear on, like, Sirius XM Octane or whatever. It bops, but yeah, that video, it gets weird. A lot of women in the 1940s were very attached to their radios, apparently.
Indeed. Anyway, moving on from that to stuff that is even more weird, or maybe just as weird. I haven't conducted the scientific studies on this yet. Yeah, Flying Lotus. As we all heard last week, he's got a new project coming out in a month from now called Flamagra. And of course, now that we got the David Lynch video announcement thing out of the way, now we can get some actual proper tracks. We actually got two here to start with. One's called Spontaneous, which is the track that features Little Dragon, and the other is called Takahashi, which is not a song about the author of Urusei Yatsura, Inuyasha, Ron and a Half, Rene, and the upcoming biography about the Communist Party leader of China, Mao Zedong. I think that's what it's about. I have to check. I'm behind on mangoes.
Okay, I'll say this. I'll say this for both tracks. It is definitely more groove, funky heavy than the usual tracks. Like, cause like at least what I get from first track, like spontaneous. Well, was short and features. You know the usual, Little Dragon. Like you get this very weird vocals from Yukimi, not the vocalist and. And we'll say it does sound, it does. I do dig it a lot, but yeah, it's, I will say for both sides, it is definitely more, though, more, you know, funky, more bouncy, more something what you, sort of like something you hear out of a Thundercat album, or at least something with that intended, this is definitely more on that side, maybe. There is some point of the album where it gets where it kind of slows down a bit to that side. Maybe at least that's what I'm thinking of. I mean, both tracks are something cool. I will say Takahashi, which yeah, that's a track. That's the longer one, and that dude it got a bit more groove into it since that one's longer. Bojack sounds definitely something I'm not gonna say didn't expect, more like didn't expect in a while that I heard from him. But yeah, this all sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Both these tracks are good. Spontaneous, it's a nice lo-fi funk jam. I love that Thundercat bass line. It has a bit of a Daft Punk Random Access Memories vibe to it. That's what I was going back to when I was listening to it. This sounds a lot like some of the tracks off of that album. It's good. And Takashi, it's a nice little jam session with lots of analog keyboards all over it, which, yes, I'm a very big fan of that. We need more of that. None of the, you know, super digital sample crap that has permeated the music scene for the last 25 years.
Yep, this is all very smooth and funky as shit. Especially Takahashi, which kind of sounds like a better version of, like, the music from, like, a Sonic the Hedgehog casino level. But that's just one man's opinion. And anyway, moving on to the next song here. Oh, look at that, we got some more Tim Hecker lined up at... my finger was in the way. Looks like Tim Heidecker. Not Hecker, Heidecker.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the Tim and Eric guy. At least one of them.
Yeah, he's half of that equation. And you might also recognize him for his starring role in such feature films as Ant-Man and the Wasp and Us. Spoiler, he gets viciously killed in Us. Wait, how is that a spoiler? It's probably obvious. Anyway, yeah, as we all know, Tim Hecker, among many things, likes... Why do I say Hecker again? I did it first as a joke. Now I'm stuck on it. But yeah, Heidecker...
Get rid of the verbal tick.
Heidecker. He does many things on the side, apart from, you know, his TV shows, you know, the stuff he does on the web, and, you know, all that. He's also a recording artist. Looks like he's coming out with a new album June 7th called What the Brokenhearted Do. Apparently, this one is inspired by trolls on the internet, claiming that his wife left him.
Yeah, his past two albums have been more political satire, which has pissed off some people from the sectors of baseless conspiracy theories and actual white supremacist terrorist forums. Don't go on that website, people.
Those kinds of assholes. So, of course, we had the lead-off song here, When I Get Up, which, oh my god, he's wearing red flannel in the video! Heidecker, no! Don't give my favorite album a 3! Well, probably too late for that. But yeah, this is one of those jolly old shanties, or hootenannies, or hoedowns, whatever. It's one of those kinds of songs, you know, where he's just singing about, like, how when I get up, all I want to do is go to bed again, which, you know, is definitely a mood. And, you know, overall, the song, there's not much to say, because the song kind of plays, like, this whole thing relatively straight-faced, which I assume is at least part of the joke. Like, it's funnier considering, like, the conception of the album in the back, you know, the backstory of it, considering how the song plays out. I assume the joke will probably be more obvious on, like, the full record, so to speak. No idea if it'll go into full-on Father John Misty levels of sarcasm. I'm not that well-versed in the music of Mr. Decker.
Heidecker.
Damn.
That's one of his aliases. It's the same thing.
No. Okay, then. But, this is something. It's a track. It's got a funk groove to it. And that's all I can say. Kind of a funny video in parts, but that's all I've got.
Hey, the video's funny.
Just to explain the reference, okay, Decker is the show within a show that exists within On Cinema at the Cinema, where Tim Heidecker plays Special Agent Decker, and of course Greg Turkington plays the Codemaster Kington. See, the joke is like their names are just like cut off parts of their last name. Why do I know all this shit, and I'm not even that big a fan of him? What is going on with my brain right now? Let's move on. Anyway, so...
The snap,
yes. That's the answer for everything. It's like, oh well, plot hole. Fuck Channel Awesome. But yeah, yes. Let's actually move on. Black Keys. That's the next thing we're talking about here. So they had a big song coming back about a few weeks ago. Now they officially announced a new album coming out June 28th. It's called Let's Rock. And yes, the quotation marks are supposed to be there. So, yeah, these guys dropped the new single Eagle Birds, and yep, there's thick fuzzy guitars, a really basic-ass drum shuffle. There's some kind of shake-shake instrument in there. I don't know if it's the shakers or the karaba, I think the name of the thing is. You know, the one where it's like a bunch of beads and you just kind of like rub it against your hand to make noise. Whatever you would call like white people maracas, you know what I mean? And it's there, I guess. I don't know. This seems like one of those bands I'm glad I never avoid. I always avoided because this ain't doing anything for me.
Yeah. To quote one of the greatest and most devious minds of our time, Kevin, Storesville.
You can't see it, but I'm holding up a paper sign right now that says dork.
Yeah, the Black Keys continue to not do anything to me except underwhelm me. At least I got that one song I like, but that's just it. Why do you continue to exist?
I don't know, man. Somebody's the audience. And speaking of bands whose continued existence is somewhat confusing, time for a name that I can't say I've thought about in a long ass time since, shit, probably at least middle school. That would be the Canadian lads in Sum 41. We all remember them? I remember them.
They're still together? Really?
I heard of them.
Yeah, they've been on a weird, you know, kind of path. And just for context, first off, my pop punk jam of choice will always be In Too Deep. I fully abide by that, and I believe there's no shame in that. Second of all, I actually decided to fill in the gaps in my understanding of their discography, because primarily what I know is Fat Lip and All Killer No Filler, that was the album name, and Underclass Hero, which was actually the first album I ever bought with my own money. Well, you know, allowance, but still. And so filling in those gaps, these guys have had a weird career path. Like, the full-on pop-punk Sum 41 that most might be familiar with only really exists on, like, those aforementioned two albums. But then, like, you go into Does This Look Infected and Chuck, and those try to go for more of a hard rock alternative metal sort of thing, very clearly sounding like a bratty version of Metallica in a lot of spaces. Which is funny, considering that they once famously declared that Maiden and Priest were the gods that they praised. And then for their last couple of records, which, yeah, there was freaking Screaming Bloody Murder and 13 Voices. Okay, Screaming Bloody Murder is super weird. I don't know what to make of it. It kind of sounds like a Diet MCR record, to be honest. And then 13 Voices was pretty solid all around. It tried to, I guess, negotiate their various styles. And for the most part, kind of succeeds. Although, I did kind of miss Steve Jocks on drums. Apparently now he's a realtor. So, yeah, it looks like these guys have actually just announced their newest studio album coming out July 19th called Order in Decline, and they've released the first single called Out for Blood. And, you know, it opens up surprisingly hard-edged, more of a hardcore sort of thing, you know, with those fucking thick, heavy, pounding D-beats and the drums, the furious, you know, straight-ahead riffs of the guitars and everything. You know, that's basically dominating, like, the choruses and everything. The verses, though, they're kind of driven by more, like, empty space and a kind of four-on-the-floor kick thing with, you know, Mr. Derek Wibbly belting out lyrics and whatnot. We can assume it's the usual teen angst rebellion thing. I mean, it is Sum 41, after all. But, yeah, there's seriously, like, some pretty meaty riffage across a lot of the song. And there's even a pretty surprisingly hard-hitting, sick-ass shred solo in there. Almost seems like, if I had to guess, this kind of seems like it's an attempt to sort of modernize the Does This Look Infected and Chuck era Sum 41 sound. And I gotta give credit, this is the most that Derek has sounded good on record in a while, because for the past couple of albums, he's kind of sounded like a really weird Derek Wibbly impersonator, but here it just sounds straight up like him, and you know, that's a pretty good thing overall. Is it weird to admit that I'm actually kind of strangely enjoying this song? Like, I feel like it shouldn't, but it's actually kind of a serious fucking jam. Holy shit.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't thought about Sum 41 in many years. All I know are just the aforementioned, quote-unquote, hits from, you know, the early 2000s. That's pretty much all I know from these guys. So going into this, this is way different than I was expecting it to be. It kind of sounds like a cross between Bad Company and Bad Religion. I don't know why I wrote that in my notes. Between Bad Religion and Avenged Sevenfold. It's weird, but it kind of works. It's a good jam. I'm going to keep a weary eye on when this new album drops. It's coming out... when's it coming out? Like,
July.
Yeah, in July, because there could be some promise here. I might have to give this a listen when it comes out, but I remain a little bit weary. I'll step a little bit back because you never know what'll happen. But as for this, pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, if you want me to get you even more anticipated, why don't we close out this discussion by lowering the bar so fucking much that anything is going to seem like a breath of fresh air.
Oh, and boy. For the opposite of pretty good.
Okay, I don't know why we have to do this. It's like, we talked about Lil Dicky last week. That hurt. But apparently the universe decided we needed another right solid punch in the taint.
Not just that, but during the NFL draft, this was being promoted. Do you know who watches the NFL draft? People who don't like Taylor Swift.
Yes, Taylor Swift. We're still recovering from whatever Reputation was supposed to be, but she's decided to drop a new single on us anyway, which worries me because that probably means there's more where that came from. So, yeah, this new song she has out is called Me, all caps, exclamation point, and, oh, hey, look at that, she brought some company with her. Yeah, there's Brendan Urie from, Panic at the Disco. Fun.
Aren't they the same?
Ah, geez, this song. First off, this video is a nightmare in the exact opposite fashion that, Look What You Made Me Do was. Where that was all bleak and trying too hard to be edgetastic, this is a pastel-colored nightmare from top to bottom. It's like if a Wes Anderson movie spent too much time next to some radioactive poisoning. Ugh. And then the actual song itself, which is, yikes, this, I mean, it kind of sounds like a Panic at the Disco track. A recent period one. Which means one of the bad ones. Where it's obnoxious with its, you know, big band drum rolls, the obnoxious background horns. It's all really bright and sunny, but in the super obnoxious way, where it's almost like, you know, I'm starting to think that Plankton has a point. Or rather, Squidward has a point. This is like SpongeBob happy. And the fucking, the chorus where it's like, I promise that you'll never find another just like... And then they do, when they say me, they put this annoying Michael Jackson tinge on it. It's like, what the fuck is this nonsense? And yes, Taylor, I hear you, but who cares about whether or not spelling is fun? All you're doing is giving me flashbacks to the whole this sick beat thing from that other song you once recorded. What did I do to deserve this? I'm not that bad of a person, am I, God?
I will keep this short and brief. The entirety of my notes on this, as I call it, latest bit of pop garbage. Fuck this song, fuck this message, fuck this Disney-ass video, and fuck you, Taylor Swift. I think I hate this song more than anything off Reputation. It just feels so... contrived and artificial and forced and, dare I say, fake. Ugh, this just... Get out of here. Go away. For a long time. 100 million views have amassed since Friday for this fucking thing. Like, just no. Just no. Absolutely not. No.
Okay, so she's still talking about some shit, so you're gonna find another girl like me or some bullshit like that. You still talking about that shit? Aren't you like almost 30 or some shit? And I
don't know, man. I'll make the rules.
And I looked up and it looked like the interview. It says like this. I think it's self-release because it says copyright test for productions. As in, I think this is all her. Like no record label involved. Just like I think it's just all her or some shit like that. I don't know. All I know is this. All I know is I listen to this shit. Like one time I'm like, man, fuck this. There's only more piece of rolls and damn, you know, fucked up my Laser Wolf reference. But yeah, the song sucks.
God help us. Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got some news topics here, so don't touch that dial. And we're back. So, yeah, we got a couple of news topics here. The first couple of these are some album announcements. So I'm going to let Alex take care of the first one here, since he seems to follow this relatively more closely than I do.
All right, so we've gotten the latest move from, as I call them, the Paisley Park Estates, of the latest release from the absolute gigantic vault of Prince, coming out on June 7th on Tidal and everywhere else on June 21st in association with Warner Brothers, because they have that deal. A 15-track album entitled Originals will be released, and it will include demos of tracks that he wrote but were recorded for other artists, such as Manic Monday, written by him for the Bangles, Sex Shooter, Apollonia 6, You're My Love for Kenny Rogers, for some reason. And of course, there are other tracks on here that were penned for artists such as Maserati, Jill Jones, Sheila E., The Time, Martika, and so forth. And of course, the previously released demo of Nothing Compares to You will be on here. I think that's what it was, the demo. Maybe it was live recording. Either way, you're going to hear a Prince version of that song, which is excellent. And, yeah, be sure to stay tuned for that when it drops on June 21st for everybody because, well, does anyone have Tidal anymore? I mean, Beyoncé's Lemonade is now available everywhere else. I think we can call Tidal a failure.
I didn't even know Tidal was still a thing.
Yep, I don't think anyone really knows. what a shame.
I think it's just there. Just, I don't know. I mean, they ain't getting no exclusives anymore.
I guess it still has to occupy server space or something. I don't know. But, yeah, there's that to look forward to. And we got another thing announced last week. It's actually coming sooner. It's coming this week, May 3rd. And, hoo boy, is this a good one. Now, we all know about, as always, the lovely compilations put out by the fine folks at Adult Swim, covering just about every topic from the grab bag of the singles program to synthwave, you know, electronic, hip-hop, all of that good shit. Well, my friends, in a sequel that's been a long time coming, in fact, pretty much 10 years in the making, you know, just shy of 10 years in the making, rather, we are finally, this Friday, getting Metal Swim 2!
Oh, finally! Oh, it's been so long.
All praise in the world goes to producer and writer Laura Starrett. Yes, she is the mind that brings the metal to the swim. So, yeah, that's coming out this Friday. So, who all is contributing to this here compilation? It'll probably be some names we're familiar with and some names I've never fucking heard of, because that's just how it works. And sure enough, so going through the track list in alphabetical order of artists, there's new tracks from Alien Weaponry, Akvan, Author and Punisher. Ooh, that's a good one. He does some pretty good industrial drone. There's Baroness. Okay, you know, Savannah, Atlanta, that general Georgia sludge vibe. There's Botanist, Dark Castle, Dreadnought, I Hate God. Ooh, that's good. Cat Cats, formerly of Agoraphobic Nosebleed, and Andy Gibbs from Thou on the same track. There's Nervosa, Oathbreaker, Sun O, close parentheses, close parentheses, close parentheses. The Body, nice. Vile Creature, and Volhan. Well, Volan, I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't know. Like I said, half these people I know, the other half I don't. That's gonna make for a fun experience. Still surprised it took this long to get another Metal Swim 2, but hey, I guess sooner rather than later, I suppose. Yes. Better late than never. Why am I screwing up my expressions today? Finger snap. I know.
Yeah, the snap. But yeah, this is very good. Unfortunately, because this is the modern age, this will be digital only and streaming only. So there's not going to be a free download option, which for all of us old people with iPods, that's lame.
Yeah, this makes me feel like a dinosaur and I'm going to be sad. But, you know, licensing costs and everything, so it is what it is. But anyway, looking forward to that. So now let's move on to our last few stories here, which are all, of course, festival related. Because that's always fun, you know, just listing off artist names so we can, you know, get that attention. So yeah, first up here, we have the upcoming edition of the Aftershock Festival, taking place October 11th through the 13th in Discovery Park in Sacramento, California. So, of course, with pretty much that information out of the way, let's just talk about the lineup here. Let's go day by day, starting with Friday. On Friday, your big headliner is Slipknot.
Yes!
And for some reason, right next to Slipknot on the name listing is, quote, presenting the return of Stained.
So, does this mean Aaron Lewis is going to stand around for 10 minutes bitching about people talking in Spanish before leaving again?
Anything could happen.
Who knows? It is California.
Maybe he innovates and he'll get pissed off about people speaking Chinese. Because he's kind of an asshole like that.
Again, it is California. We're a very cultured people.
Anyway, moving on from that. So going through the rest of the lineup here, there's Lamb of God, Hailstorm, the Dropkick Murphys. Oh, hey, Sum 41. There's Clutch, I Prevail, Beartooth, Motionless in White,
Double A,
Andrew WK,
Hey,
Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals, Knocked Loose, Angel Dust, While She Sleeps, Dead without an A, The Pink Slips, and Santa Cruz. So, now to move on to Saturday. Alex, you want to take care of Saturday?
Yeah, all right. You're not going to be much to work with because the Saturday lineup is kind of, yeah, but, your headliners are Blink-182 and Rob Zombie, which, okay.
Eh.
And then we get to, Bring Me the Horizon.
No.
Oh, I almost fell asleep just saying that name.
Blech.
What a boring album. We also have here Marilyn Manson, a cover band of Stone Temple Pilots.
Why?
We also got, oh, look at this, Bad Religion.
Hey.
Yeah, we have Highly Suspect,
eh.
Ghostmane.
Hey.
Yeah, Fiddler. The Interrupters, okay, Fishbone, Bad Flower, H-O-9909, Health.
Health and ghost meme.
Yeah, and we also have Parlor Mob, Sick Puppies, Spirit Adrift, Broken Hands, and Dead Posey.
Well, I mean, that sounds about right. You know, track record, some names we know, most we don't.
Yeah, not a lot to work with there. However, on Sunday...
Yeah, there's Sunday, too. Sunday. So, Sunday, your headliners are Tool.
Yes.
And Korn.
I'll take it. Because they like this festival.
Anyway, we also have A Day to Remember.
They're okay. They could be worse. They could be Bring Me the Horizon.
There's Chevelle. There's Baby Metal.
We're going to hear new stuff from them very soon.
Better. There's Gojira.
Mm-hmm.
Architects.
Nice.
Falling in Reverse.
It just feels a cringe in your voice.
Deadland Ritual. Fu Manchu. The Crystal Method. Frank Carter. And the Rattlesnakes. The Who, H.U., Fire from the Gods, Joyous Wolf, Evan Conrad, B.R.K.N. Love, I assume that means Broken, and Blue Midnight. Again, no idea who most, like, half those people are.
Yeah. So, good Friday, good Sunday, not so good Saturday.
Godspeed to you people who decide to go to Aftershock. I'll probably be crammed with work, you know, and school and stuff, because that's in the... But that's not important. Anyway, let's move on to our next festival announcement here. And that's actually coming up literally almost the month after. We are talking about the 2019 edition of the Levitation Festival, taking place November 7th through the 10th in Austin, Texas. So let's talk about this here Phase 1 lineup, but before that, wow, this poster is really irritating to look at. It's straining my eyes. It's like I need 3D glasses to look at it.
It has that red and blue 3D effect, which, why would you do that?
God damn my eyes. Anyway, so let's look at what's going on each of these days. So Phase 1 for Thursday, November 7th, we have Angel Olsen, Devendra Banhart, High on Fire, Power Trip, Kigagaku Moyo, I probably pronounced that wrong, Holy Wave, Minami Deutsch, and Hoover 3, or Hoover 3 Eyes, I don't know. Who wants to cover Friday here, Friday, November 8th?
I'll go ahead and cover Friday. We have, Def Heaven! Excellent. And, also top billing, Black Mountain.
Oh.
And going down the list, we also have a second set from Kikagaku Moyo. Okay. Russian Circles, Broncho, Brutus. Okay. Emma Ruth Rundle, Death Valley Girls, Stonefield, Frankie and the Witchfingers, Jay Jail, and Lingua Ignota.
Oh yeah, I've heard of her. I think she's collaborated with The Body on their last album. She did a lot of the vocals on that one.
Cool.
So now to move on to Saturday, November 9th. Your lineup includes John Cale, The Black Angels, Chelsea Wolf, Alla Lass, Red Fang, White Fence, Torch, hell yeah, Acid King, Mono Lord, Here Lies Man, He Never Scored, Iwana Geeka, Zigzags, Warish, and Blackwater Holy Light. And then there's just Sunday, November 10th, which seems kind of lacking for just a Wave 1 announcement.
So yeah, to round this out, we have headliner for Sunday, Kurt Vile and the Violators.
That sounds like a pun.
You also have Dinosaur Jr., Black Moth Super Rainbow, not to be confused with the ever so better White Moth Black Butterfly, A Place to Bury Strangers, the KVB, Dallas Acid, and Num-er. And more to be announced, because obviously they need more to be announced. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously there's a mix-up here with, like, you know, there's a lot of heavy stuff on here. I assume that's kind of a defining feature of a lot of this stuff. And, you know, I assume I could probably find time to fill in the mental blanks for all the stuff I don't immediately recognize. You know, I gotta find the time. You know, I gotta buff up on that music. How else am I supposed to be a genre director? It's like I suck in my job or something already, and I haven't even started. But, I'm just joking around. But, yeah, so there's that to look forward to. But maybe you're in the mood for something else, you know? Maybe you don't want all of this, all of this loud music and, you know, these particular bands. Maybe you want something happening in August, you know, right around the time when the doldrums of, you know, school and college and work life really start to settle into their grind. Maybe it's a iteration of a popular event. Yeah, this is ramping. Let's just cut the feed. We're talking Woodstock again. Woodstock 50. Now, as we left off last time, the tickets were supposed to go on sale on Monday to, you know, commemorate Earth Day. But that got postponed due to a bunch of legalese. Perhaps most notably, they apparently had not actually secured the zoning permits necessary to host a festival on that particular advertised stretch of ground. They didn't have all of that, you know, sorted out and in place. But, you know, it probably stands to reason they've made some progress on that, right?
You would think.
Oh, no. What happened this time?
Okay. I'm going to preface this by talking about another festival that happened, well, just this past weekend, the Something in the Water Festival in Virginia Beach, Virginia. A bit of a smaller festival put together by Pharrell Williams that, aside from a freak rainstorm, went off without a hitch. Had a good lineup, too. You got Catronata, Travis Scott, Pusha T, Anderson .Paak, Mac DeMarco, among others, and of course, you know, Janelle Monáe and Pharrell. Even Dave Matthews Band showed up. All in all, excellent festival that made a lot of people happy because it was very well run. Can't quite say the same about Woodstock 50 because there was a bit of a breaking news report before we recorded the show today. Officials with Dentsu Aegis Network, the main funder of the festival, released this statement to Billboard. Quote, "It's a dream for agencies to work with iconic brands and to be associated with meaningful movements. We have a strong history of producing experiences that bring people together around common interests and causes, which is why we chose to be a part of the Woodstock 50th Anniversary Festival. But despite our tremendous investment of time, effort, and commitment, we don't believe the production of the festival can be executed as an event worthy of the Woodstock brand name while also ensuring the health and safety of the artists, partners, and attendees. As a result, and after careful consideration, Dentsu Aegis Network's Amplify Live, a partner of Woodstock 50, has decided to cancel the festival."
Womp, womp, womp.
But wait! There's even more.
Ooh!
Because Michael Lang, the co-founder of, well, Woodstock, yeah, he's not going to take this lion down.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is messy, but his words, per a report from Variety, quote, "We are committed to ensuring that the 50th anniversary of Woodstock is marked with a festival deserving of its iconic name and place in American history and culture. Although our financial partner is withdrawing, we will, of course, be continuing with the planning of the festival and intend to bring on new partners. The bottom line is, there is going to be a Woodstock 50th Anniversary Festival, as there must be, and it's going to be a blast."
Oh, boy.
I friggin' think not, because here's the thing. The top billing talent has already been paid. If there's no festival, you're not getting your money back. If there is a festival, how are you going to pay for it? You done fucked up, Mang.
Aw, man, I was hoping this festival would actually be happening. We need Fyre Festival 2.
Well, if you ask him, it could very well still happen. With not a lot of money, but hey, anything's possible, right?
Oh, boy.
And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself that they say they canceled because of... let me see if I understand this here. So, okay, so they canceled because it doesn't live up to the standards befitting of the Woodstock name. Meanwhile, Woodstock 99 happened, no problem.
Yeah. Sources have said that there were concerns about the capacity of the festival grounds, Watkins Glen Speedway, which... if you look at a festival like Rock Am Ring, which takes place in Germany at a gigantic speedway, that's just a full speedway. Watkins Glen is a gigantic road course with, you know, turns and curves and all that kind of stuff. That makes it a little bit harder to try and coordinate all the logistics of what you need for such an event like this. Also worth noting, I'm just going to quote the Billboard piece. Quote, last week, a representative for the festival reached out to officials with Live Nation and AEG to inquire about a $20 million investment to save the event, but both companies declined the offer. And this was just days after they missed their ticket sale day. So, here's where we are now. The money's been spent, the artists have been paid, the main financier is pulling out, the permits aren't in place, and we don't even know if this is actually going to happen. And if it does happen, this could be a Fyre Fest 2 situation, because you're going to upstate New York in the middle of summer, where, as we learned from last time, it gets really hot. Whoa. And considering you're in a road course, which has just nutty twist and logistics and all that kind of stuff, how are you going to pull this off?
The short version is probably not. The long version will be answered in the inevitable Netflix documentary.
Oh, God.
Where the organizers were fully prepared to get on their knees and suck dick for the funds.
And then there'll be a Hulu version of that. Where they just grill the motherfuckers.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. One more thing. If they want to make money, they need an instant sellout of pretty much maximum capacity. How will you do that if you haven't sold the tickets yet?
Oh,
it's like this guy's
Lord.
Doing every step wrong. Considering Woodstock 99, that's not hard to believe.
Oy vey. So, yeah, this is going to get way more interesting than I thought it would be. Gotta keep an eye out. This is going to be that breaking news thing, that multi-part saga that I have been praying for. But, yeah, with all that out of the way, now to take care of the last proper bit of business, and that is the new album releases for the week of May 3rd, 2019. In addition to the aforementioned Metal Swim 2 compilation, we have the new Amon Amarth album, Berserker, the newest project from Ringworm with Death Becomes My Voice, the much-anticipated new Bad Religion album, Age of Unreason, the newest one from 90s grunge mainstays L7 with Scatter the Rats. Apparently, there actually turns out to be a new project from YG, apparently disconnected from the 6ix9ine diss track called For Real, For Real. A new project from Miss Ashley Tisdale, I think she was like an actress on a Disney show, sitcom or something, with Symptoms. Mm. And last but certainly not least, the much-anticipated new album from Vampire Weekend with Father of the Bride. So now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Erosure, which is my handle without the middle keys. Because people want to do that for some reason. You know who I am. You know where to find me. Come on.
Indeed. Mark, what about you?
As usual, Matt Titan Media on Twitter. And, of course, on my site, mynhybridone.wordpress.com. Of course, I'm going to do Trap Game on Saturdays. Apparently, it's a new Wee Bear Bears going today, which means I got to recap that shit tomorrow. Or at least write one up tomorrow, because I didn't look up shit, but yeah, there's that.
Yeah, and as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at RobBarracuda. Email me at Robert@SorrowResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Follow us on, you know, the social media. Follow us on Twitter at SorrowReso. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by Friday, well, the weekend, on the official YouTube channel. So just subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified when stuff goes up there. Visit the website, SorrowResolution.com, where you can find written articles, this podcast, Podcast O&A, and all those usual fun shenanigans. Be sure to jump into our Discord channel if you want to see the latest, dankest Barney the Dinosaur memes. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for joining us this week. We'll, of course, see you again next week. And until next time... No, seriously, where the fuck are the corn dogs?
Friendly reminder, trans rights are metal AF.
Shit, hang on, my phone fell off here for a second.
I'll take.
Leave it in.
I'll save that. So, yeah.